We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Well, we finally have it. The Big Ten announced the 2020 10-game conference schedule. Stay tuned because we'll tell you who it is, where it is, when it is, and there are some interesting dates to look forward to. We'll get to that next on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
The big thing for us right now always is number one is the health and safety of our student athletes and everyone in our Big Ten community. But also is to have as much flexibility as we possibly can.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
Welcome back, friends. And this is an exciting day because we finally get a look at what the anticipated schedule will be this coming football season. We've heard from so many other of the Power Five conferences, yet we have been waiting. Even though the Big Ten was the first to say they were going conference only, we didn't know what it would look like. We didn't know how many. We didn't know where, and we didn't know when it would start. We know all of those answers now, and I have fallen in love with this schedule. And if there is one thing that I know, my first reaction to this schedule is that somebody a heck of a lot smarter than me put this together, and we're going to spend the next few minutes, the next little bit of time, describing the flexibility built into this. We've got some cuts from Kevin Warren that we're going to get to, the Big Ten commissioner. And I'm amazed at what this looks like, and the feasibility of this, I think, is great. So let's bring in Brian Bush, my partner here on In the Trenches. And Brian, what was your initial reaction when you saw the schedule, you saw the opener, you saw when it was, which is going to be the weekend of September 3, 4, and 5. All 3 days will have games. What was your initial reaction?
There were plenty, and we'll get into a lot of them, John. I think the first thing that kind of boggles my mind, if this schedule does indeed go in order, we will actually be inside the Big House earlier than we were supposed to be at the start of the season. Considering all the questions about the football season, that concept to me is pretty mind-boggling.
It is, and you get a chance to start at home. You know, it's and Brian, to me, we all know that everything written right now needs to be written in pencil because we've used up enough ink and enough paper that we've got to keep writing in pencil because everything can change on a day-to-day basis, heck, on an hour-by-hour basis as we gain new information, as we see new things happen. Kevin Warren has shown from the moment that he had to cancel the Big Ten basketball tournament and we had the NCAA tournament was canceled. Fall spring sports were canceled. that he is willing to make a change whenever he sees that it needs to happen. But I think the one thing that you see from this schedule is that, you know, starting that first weekend in September, September 3, there's going to be a game against between Ohio State and Illinois. That will start things off on Thursday night. Friday night will be a matchup between Wisconsin and Indiana. That will be in Madison, Wisconsin. And then the other 10 teams will play on September 5th during that Labor Day weekend. And it's just, can you imagine the excitement of not only do we have something concrete to look at, but just as that weekend approaches, knowing everything that this country, that this conference, that every individual has been through over the past 5 months, that we actually get to watch some football. I'm beyond excited. I can't even tell you how excited I am.
No, it's awesome, John. And because of that, I want to start with breaking down football and talking matchups. If this were a normal year, by this point, John, you would have had several interviews with players. You'd be inside Schembechler Hall 20 hours a day or so getting ready for this season. We'll talk about the flexibility. As you mentioned, we'll hear from Kevin Warren, courtesy Big Ten Network, coming up here in a bit. But let's start, John, going through football-only conversation with regards to this Michigan schedule. I want to go game by game, and we start with that aforementioned opener, September the 5th. It's at the Big House. Purdue comes to town. That was originally scheduled to be the homecoming game on the original version of the 2020 schedule. But how does this matchup favor the Wolverines, especially considering it's home against Purdue versus the original September 5th plan on the road at Washington?
Well, it's first of all, it'll be great to open up at home. And we don't know how many fans will be in the stands. But when you think about this Purdue team, I believe this is a team that you want to play early. I think they're a team that can gain momentum throughout the season. They're going to have a new quarterback. Is it going to be Jack Plummer? Most indications are that it is. Rondale Moore, we saw him get hurt last year. One of the most electric, if not the most electric player, not just in the Big Ten, but across the country. And, you know, David Bell, another receiver, he was a freshman last year, was called into duty, you know, when Rondale Moore went down. We saw them on the field a couple of times together, but this is a duo that I think everybody is going to want to watch because they will be explosive. They have to be able to develop some chemistry with the quarterback, and that's going to be the big question. Defensively, they've got a new defensive coordinator in Bob Diaco. What type of defense is he going to run? Now, most people think he's going to move from that 4-3 defense, move to a more of a 3-4 defense, and they'll feature George Karloftis, who was a freshman last year, big time defensive end, you know, playing for his hometown team there in West Lafayette. There are going to be a number of players on this Purdue team that you're going to want to keep an eye on. But I think, again, when I go back to my initial statement, I think it's great that Michigan is opening up with them early in the season, that they're going to be playing them at home, because they're going to need some time to get going. And when they do, boy, this is going to be a fun team offensively to watch.
Yeah, I think it's one of the most interesting week one matchups in the Big Ten, if you look at it broad strokes. Week two, John, at Minnesota. Wolverines were expecting to go there in October, and some big news from the Gophers. Rashad Bateman, one of the best receivers in the country, opting out earlier this week.
Yeah, and this is interesting because, you know, you lose players, you know, in a regular season to injury. And this is not unlike that. It's just a player that will be unavailable. He was the Big Ten's leading receiver. Tanner Morgan is one of those quarterbacks that he gained a lot of momentum last year, a lot of great experience. He's playing behind an offensive line that returns all five starters. You look in the backfield and you've got Muhammad Ibrahim, Bryce Williams. This is a potent, you know, offense, and they've got a lot of momentum coming off of what they did in 2019. Defensively, they lost a lot. There's one player that we haven't heard a lot about that I think could be a big-time player for the Gophers, and that's Boye Mafe, a defensive end. We know that they lost a lot in terms of talent, in terms of experience and leadership on defense, but this is a player that I'm interested to see how Michigan's tackles fare against him early in the season. Jalen Mayfield, I would love to see this matchup. Boye Mafe, Jalen Mayfield, that's going to be one that we'll talk about leading up to that game. But getting back to the offense, Rashad Bateman will not be there. Christian Autumn Bell is a guy that is a playmaker. He is a good receiver, but he's not going to have that playmakers around him. Last year it was Tyler Johnson. He's now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Rashad Bateman is not going to be there. He's going to sit out this season and prepare for the NFL draft. So they're going to have to rely on Seth Green, and Demetrius Douglas, some other guys that have a little bit of experience, but not the playmakers that Tyler Johnson was last year or that Rashad Bateman was going to be this year. But, and it's the little brown jug. It's a trophy game in week two. That little brown jug needs to stay in Ann Arbor.
Week three, John, September 19th, home against Penn State. This game moving up a couple of weeks. And I have to imagine outside of the Ohio State game, this is the one that players have circled as a big time revenge opportunity.
Well, it is. You know, we know how that game ended last year in Happy Valley, and there was a chance for Michigan to win it at the end. They weren't able to come out with that win, but anytime Penn State comes to Ann Arbor, Michigan has had the advantage. They've played very well at home against the Nittany Lions, and Sean Clifford will be in year two as a starter. They got one of the better tight ends in the conference and Pat Freiermuth, and, you know, everybody back on the offensive line, which I think is very important. One key, and as of recording this podcast, there are reports that Micah Parsons, their stud linebacker, is going to sit out this season as well. And we'll give updates as soon as we possibly can, but the reports are that he is not going to play. So now you have, when you think about Minnesota in week two, one of the best offensive players in is not going to be playing in wide receiver Rashad Bateman. And then in week three, you've got Penn State and Micah Parsons, maybe the best defensive player in the conference, is considering not playing this year as well. So that could change how you prepare for this team. And that's really, I think, when we continue to break down this schedule and you look and you say, okay, well, all of our preparation initially was to start off with Washington. And, you know, that has obviously gone by the wayside. Then it was Ball State and Arkansas State. And then Wisconsin was going to be the Big Ten opener. So much of the preparation in the offseason was geared to those teams. And as soon as they said, hey, we're not going to play out of conference, now all of a sudden the attention comes all on the Big Ten and the Big Ten schedule. But you are a month away from playing Purdue at home, just over a month from playing Minnesota on the road, Penn State. So that preparation gets sped up a little bit in regards to playing some of these Big Ten opponents.
So then week four, Michigan goes to Rutgers. Reportedly, the reason why the schedule came out Wednesday as opposed to Tuesday was because of the expanding outbreak for the Scarlet Knights. Reportedly 28 positive tests. Obviously hoping everybody's safe there. And as we talked about before, we need every program in the Big Ten to handle things better than what we've seen from a program like Rutgers, where one little mistake can really flare up and turn into a huge situation.
Yeah, and they can, you know, they've traced that exposure back to an on-campus party that some of the team went to, and it just goes back to educating your student athletes and leadership. And I'm not trying to say anything about Greg Schiano or what they're doing. It's a first year head coach at that program. He's been there before, but he's got to get his guys to buy into, you know, the fact that, hey, if you take a risk, you put our season in jeopardy. And it's not just you as an individual, it's your team. It's this conference. And, you know, in week four, scheduled to go to Rutgers to travel to Piscataway. It'll be interesting to see how, when they can get up and running and start practices. And that's going to be the interesting thing. I know Michigan State at some point had to pause workouts. We've seen Ohio State have to pause it. Indiana, Northwestern was one of the latest teams to have to pause. So it'll be interesting as we continue to move forward when these teams can get up and running as to when we will actually see the season start. It is scheduled for September 3 and 5, and we'll get into some of the flexibility later in the show here. But this is important for the student athletes to adhere to the standards set by the CDC, set by the Big Ten, set by, you know, whatever medical personnel you're looking at. It is imperative that you follow those guidelines if you want to play college football.
Week 5, October 3rd, it's Michigan not going to East Lansing, but welcoming Michigan State for a second consecutive year. John, that helps to fix the home-road imbalance of the Michigan State and Ohio State rivalries. Of course, last year, Michigan hosted both. The plan this year was for Michigan to travel to both, and quite frankly, I think I'd rather see Michigan State come here a second straight year and get the road trip to Columbus out of the way in this type of a season, just based on the fact of where those two programs are. And let's be honest, what the crowd makeup will probably look like, few, if any, fans in the stands.
Yeah, and this is interesting, and you bring up an interesting point. You know, since the reshuffling of the divisions, Michigan State and Ohio State have either been both home or both away. I'm hoping, we haven't heard anything about the 2021 schedule, but I would love for Michigan State to come here 3 years in a row, but I would love even more that if they take this opportunity to, yes, it's back-to-back years, Michigan State has to come to Ann Arbor, but if we can start that alternating season where Michigan State is home, Ohio State's away, and then, you know, obviously vice versa the next year, that would be better for, I think, the Big Ten, obviously for Michigan, and this is an opportunity to do that. But the backyard brawl in October, right where it's supposed to be, this is exciting news.
Yeah, and the reset also evens things up for Michigan State too, because they are normally both at home or both on the road. So now it is set up to where Michigan State, Michigan, and Ohio State all play either the Spartans or the Buckeyes or the Wolverines at home, depending on who we're talking about. So week 6 of the season will be a bye week as scheduled now for Michigan. Week 7 would be game number 6, and it is at Indiana. Now, just like the Michigan State situation with the Spartans coming to Ann Arbor back-to-back years, Michigan will be going to Bloomington in consecutive seasons. And John, there's a lot of positivity coming out of the Indiana program from a football perspective. They're building something there. There were expectations this could be and still can be a big season for Indiana. Not going to be an easy matchup.
No, it's not, and it never is. You know, Michael Penix Jr., if he can stay healthy, is a very dangerous quarterback. He's a guy that can make some throws, and he's also a guy that can make some plays with his feet. And then you start to look around, you know, the rest of his team. Wap Fillier is an explosive wide receiver. He plays the game with a flair that you want to see a receiver play with. Ty Freifogel, the other receiver, is a senior. So you got two seniors out there that are very dangerous players. Peyton Hendershot has had some offseason issues. He's their tight end. He is back with the team, and I think he is one of the better tight ends in the country as well. Stevie Scott in the backfield. So offensively, they are loaded with a lot of playmakers. Now, can they protect Michael Penix Jr.? Rumor has it that he's put on 10 to 15 pounds to try and stay healthy throughout the football season. Defensively is kind of the question mark right now. They don't do a great job of pressuring opposing quarterbacks. Their secondary is going to have three new starters, so it'll be interesting to see defensively what they look like. But this has been a team that has improved since Tom Allen has been the head coach in Bloomington, and they have also gained confidence on a year-in, year-out basis, and there's no better way to gain confidence than have an 8-win season, go to a bowl game, and try and carry that over into the next season.
And for the second straight year, Michigan will transition from at Indiana to the Ohio State game. And it'll be the earliest, John, that these two teams will meet since 1933, October 24th in Columbus. The rationale, trying to make it as likely as they can to play this game. Your thoughts on the game being a month early?
Well, it's disappointing that it's not at the end of the year, and all of the buildup that happens throughout the college football season all gets to one game, and it's, you know, the Big Ten championship rides on it, whether it's the, you know, West or East Conference, that doesn't matter. The winner of that game is likely to go to the conference title game, and it's, again, disappointing that it's not at the end of the year, but I will make any sacrifice possible to know that that game has the highest likelihood of happening. Mid-October is what the Big Ten deems as the highest likelihood of games actually being scheduled and played. So I'll take it wherever you want to put it. Some people thought, hey, let's start off the season. In that opening weekend with Ohio State, maybe play them twice. I thought all of those ideas would be great, but and as again, what we keep teasing the flexibility of this schedule, and we'll talk about it a little bit more later. Again, the October games, I think, have the highest likelihood of actually happening.
Then October 31st, Michigan welcomes Wisconsin. That's one heck of an opponent to face off with 1 week after the game. Now, it hasn't been since 1933 that Michigan has not had a regular season game after facing Ohio State. You dealt with it in 1998. It'll be interesting how this program will play, whether it's a win or a loss, coming up the week after facing Ohio State. That's not something they've had to do for, well, I think since 98, right?
Yeah, it hasn't. It's always been the last game. In 98, if those Michigan historians remember, we went out to Hawaii to play the Rainbows? I can't remember what they were called at the time. They were the Rainbows now. They might have been the Warriors at that time, but that doesn't matter. We did play another game after that Ohio State game in 1998. This will be a time where it comes down to leadership. No matter what happens in that Ohio State game, Jim Harbaugh is going to have to refocus this team. The seniors, the captains will have to refocus this team. You can't celebrate. You can't be disappointed. You can't be anything, but you have to move on to the following game, which is Wisconsin. And we know what happened in Madison last year. This is an opportunity to try and even the score just a little bit. And hey, they have a battle at the quarterback position. And I've talked to a lot of people in the program in Madison, a lot of people around the program. And Jack Cohn played extremely well last year. Most people think that he will start off as the starter. Had there been a full offseason, Graham Mertz was a 5-star recruit, highest rated recruit that they've ever had come in at that quarterback position. And he is pushing Jack Cohn. So it'll be interesting to see who the quarterback is at that time of the year. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor is no longer there. They'll have a revamped offensive line. Most of us believe that they are just going to plug and play a number of players on that offensive line, and they're going to be really good. Defensively, you'll want to watch Jack Sanborn, middle linebacker. He's the guy that stirs the drink for this defense. He plays with a reckless abandon. He's got a nose for the ball. He's got great tackling ability. That is the player to watch for this Wisconsin defense. But I couldn't be more excited to play back-to-back games against Ohio State and Wisconsin.
Then November 7th would be Michigan's second-to-last game if this schedule was played in order. Maryland comes to town. It would be the final game at Michigan Stadium for the Wolverines. Maryland's got some positive momentum, but I don't think they'll be a true contender here in 2020.
No, and it's, again, the second year for Mike Locksley. They don't necessarily know who that quarterback is going to be. I think going into the season, Josh Jackson, who's going to be a senior, he's a transfer from Virginia Tech. Freddie J's boy will probably be the starter, but they still are waiting on the NCAA to rule on Talia Tungavailoa. The brother of Tua has transferred there, and he may be eligible this year. And so... This is a team where they are starting to acquire some talent. It's all young, and they've got a wide receiver that I think everybody should keep an eye on. It's Rakeem Jarrett. He was a kid that most people thought was going to go to LSU. On signing day, decided to flip and signed and stayed at home. He's from D.C. And is going to play for the Terrapins. So they're acquiring some talent. I think it's young. I think it's inexperienced. They're not ready yet. But this is a team that if they put it all together on any given Saturday could pose a danger to any team that they play.
Then a bye week on November 14th before the quote-unquote extra game on November 21st, Michigan going to Evanston to face off with Northwestern. Not a gimme, John, even though it was a tough go for the Wildcats last season after reaching the Big Ten title game in 2018. But all things considered, I think Michigan got a favorable extra game.
They do. And, you know, they added one crossover game. So as we near the end of this schedule, they will play six division opponents, which we've talked about already. There are three crossover games that they initially had, plus they added one, and that is the trip to Evanston and play Northwestern. Two players that I think everybody should keep an eye on. Peyton Ramsey, who we saw play against us last year for Indiana, is a guy that has had really good success down at Indiana. He lost out on the starting job. They gave it to Michael Penix Jr., so he entered the transfer portal and ended up as a grad transfer and immediately eligible in Evanston. He gives this team the opportunity to be explosive. Now, it comes down to, can he create that chemistry? Does he have the talent at wide receiver to actually stretch the field? We'll find out as the season goes on. But then on defense, it's Patty Fisher, middle linebacker. This is a kid that I love watching him play because he just knows how to play the game of football. He may be not as fast as some guys, maybe a little undersized as compared to other guys, but he is a guy, when he is on the field, can make plays, can get after the quarterback, cover running backs out of the backfield. He's just a terrific football player. So keep an eye on both of those guys, but always love that trip to Evanston.
So then there will be a league-wide bye week on November 28th. As of now, the Big Ten championship game scheduled for December 5th, though the league has announced that that could go as far back as December 19th if necessary. So we talked about some of the flexibility. Big Ten announcing on Wednesday they will try to start 1 month from today. The ACC pushed things back a week. Pac-12, 2 weeks. SEC all the way back to September 26th, 3 full weeks. Why is the Big Ten starting on time? Well, here's the commissioner, Kevin Warren, from his appearance Wednesday on Big Ten Network.
What went into the decision was to afford us the best possible opportunity to be as flexible as we possibly can. And that was one of the reasons why, when we decided to go to a 10-game only schedule, a Big Ten only conference schedule, is that we're hopeful that this builds an opportunity for us to remain as flexible as we possibly can. So as you're aware, if something were to happen where we didn't start on September 5th, we have the flexibility to start even on September 12th or the 19th. And we have, because we have those open dates throughout the schedule and on the back end, we would be able to collapse some of those early dates to a later date. So the big thing for us right now always is number one is the health and safety of our student athletes and everyone in our Big Ten community, but also is to have as much flexibility as we possibly can.
When this schedule came out and you started to dissect it and you started to see the thought that went into it, you know, Brian, I know you sent me the rundown, and the next question is, what does flexibility look like? Well, it looks like if you can't play that week one game, that it gets postponed to week 13, November 28. If week two can't be played, it gets pushed back to week 14, which is supposed to be the championship game, but can also turn into a regular season game, and they can push that championship game back a week. Weeks 3 and 4, those opponents that they play in those games can be pushed back to, because everybody that you play in week 3 and week 4 have common bye weeks either in 5, 6, or 7. So some of those games can be pushed back in the schedule. This schedule allows the Big Ten the opportunity to start as early as possible, to get in as many games as possible, with the flexibility that, hey, if teams aren't ready, if the pause button has to be hit on a number of programs, those games can be pushed back, and you can start as late as the last weekend in September and still have the ability to play a 10-game season, still have the ability to have a conference championship, whether it's December the 5th, December the 12th, or December the 19th. There is maximum flexibility, and that is the beauty of when Kevin Warren said, hey, we are going to go to conference-only games. And we had waited and waited and waited for a conference-only schedule. What's it going to look like? When are they going to start? Now we know, but we also understand the flexibility built into this schedule to give the Big Ten the opportunity to get in as many games as possible between the first weekend in September and December 19th.
Yeah, if you look at Michigan's schedule in particular, John, with regards to some of those alterations, week three, week four are the first two in-division matchups, Penn State and Rutgers, and the Wolverines share a week six bye week with those two teams. And then every Eastern Division game is from September 19th to November 7th. So say they can't start on time, and you push back the Purdue and the Minnesota games, and you start September 19th, which is when the Pac-12 is scheduled to start. In that situation, then you can get a legitimate representative season in over the course of 7-8 weeks. It's like everything during this COVID-19 pandemic. Nothing is going to be perfect. You have to have layers upon layers upon layers of flexibility. And this is the very best that they can do, because Michigan will have situations where it's going to be a little funky. Hopefully, it's just a matter of, you know, you have to do some different protocols inside Schembechler Hall, and you have to do some different things when traveling, stuff like that. But this schedule gives the Big Ten as best of a chance as possible to get a football season in. And Commissioner Warren did a great job elaborating on this flexibility, again, audio courtesy Big Ten Network.
Yeah, what we wanted to do is just to make sure that, we created a schedule that was fair, that was equitable, that was methodical, and as you alluded to, provided us with the opportunity to have so much flexibility. So if something happened where a team was not able to play during a week, that we could either move those games later to the season. I think flexibility is so critically important, as you can see on the screen with the schedule up there now. I mean, Dave, as we all know, I mean, we are very hopeful to have a Big Ten football season, to have fall sports in our Big Ten conference. But again, you know, what we're doing, we're approaching this entire process on a day-to-day basis. We're gathering medical information daily. We're communicating with all of our constituents in the Big Ten. We're communicating with our student athletes and having dialogue with them. This will not be a straight line this year. And again, you know, we've released the schedule, but we've done it in a context of we have to plan ahead. But we understand that that we are in a pandemic. We're doing the best that we possibly can to create an environment where our student athletes can get a world-class education at one of our institutions. But also, if we're so fortunate, that compete in intercollegiate athletics here this fall. But no matter what we do, no matter what happens with the schedule, if we are so fortunate to play fall sports, is that we need to make sure that the health and safety and the wellness, and not only the physical health and safety and wellness, but also the mental health and safety and wellness of our student athletes remain at the top of our list. And as I sit here today, I'm confident that we've done everything we possibly can up to this moment to feel comfortable to move to tomorrow. And as I said, this is a day-to-day situation. We're gathering information. It epitomizes fluidity. And so we feel good today. But again, this is something that we're working on throughout the day and night, every single day of the week.
I think it's interesting that he says, you know, we feel good with the plan to get us to tomorrow. And that's really what it is to get to tomorrow. And because in a couple more tomorrows, you know, training camps will start at the end of this week. They're supposed to start Friday the 7th. We'll see how many camps get underway, what that looks like, and what the testing will be like when we finally have, you know, student athletes lining up, snapping the ball, getting in huddles, meetings. That's going to be the big question as to how they're going to do that to keep the student athletes safe. And, you know, Kevin Warren went into great detail about all of that throughout the day. When you saw the safety protocol and you heard from Kevin Warren, Brian, what were your thoughts about getting to tomorrow?
Yeah, I think it's the right approach, John. It's not perfect. Nothing in this situation is perfect, but the fact that they've got something that's pretty, I think it's pretty thorough. It's going to be difficult to be completely thorough. If you listen back to Conquering Heroes with Daryl Conway, who's been integral in the Michigan-related response to all this, you can't eliminate all the exposures. He said in his example, if you assume a million exposures each day, our goal is to cut that in half. cut away 500,000? How can we do that to best position our student athletes to be as safe as possible? And listen, it's not easy. This is requiring flexibility and changes and a day-by-day approach from everybody. The Big Ten, with this schedule, also released its medical protocols for all sports. And here, Commissioner Warren elaborates on some of those.
Testing is a critical component to the overall health and wellness and safety of our student athletes, of our students on campus, and everyone in society. And, testing is a critical component. It doesn't solve all the issues, but our goal is to make sure that if we are so blessed to be able to compete this fall in the Big Ten, that our student athletes will not only be healthy and safe during the week, but also as we enter into competition. So one of the decisions that we made for low contact sports is that they will be tested. And then these are minimum standards at a minimum of one time per week, but our high contact sports such as football, the minimum will be twice a week, and those will be PCR tests. The other important component is that all of these tests, once we get into competition, will be managed by a third-party laboratory. We thought it was really important from a consistency and credibility standpoint that we manage that from a third-party standpoint. So testing is critical. And as I said, and because we released a football schedule from a football standpoint, these are minimum standards. And when we say minimum standards from our standpoint, so each one of our student athletes will be tested twice a week. And our whole goal, and we're working in additional ways with some rapid tests, that we would also be able to incorporate additional rapid testing on top of the two tests, PCR tests, that our student football student athletes and other high contact sports student athletes would receive. So we're taking the testing component of this entire process very seriously. We will, again, continually keep our standards very high and make sure we are methodical in our testing policies and procedures.
We're going to continue to give you as much information as we can here. If you want the entire rundown of the Big Ten Conference COVID-19 medical protocols, they put out an executive summary. You can go to BigTen.org and get that. You can go there for the entire Big Ten schedule, or if you're just interested in the Michigan schedule, go to MGoBlue.com. You can find that schedule there as well. But when you hear the implementation of testing protocol, so for, you know, high contact sports like football, basketball, cheerleading, field hockey, ice hockey, there's a number of them that are in that high contact, category. Those are going to be twice a week. The intermediate, like a baseball, softball, men's and women's gymnastics, cross country, beach volleyball, and the low, golf, fencing, rifle, swimming and diving, and there's a few more as well. They will be tested once a week. And I think it is very important to listen to what Kevin Warren says, that if there is new information, new testing that is available, rapid testing that they can implement into this, that the minimum standard is twice a week, but they could do more. And each program could do more as they can either afford or that becomes available to them. So when you hear that, Brian, and you hear the testing protocol, you see what the Big Ten put out in regards to, you know, this is what our plan in place for testing ahead of games, after games, officials, coaches, staff, and it goes as far as, hey, what happens in quarantine? You know, when can you retest? And I think there's one note that I do want to touch on, and that is a repeat surveillance. We heard from Daryl Conway. And again, if you want to go to that, Brian mentioned it, you can go to our Conquering Heroes. It was our first episode earlier this week. He does a great job of describing what that surveillance testing is. But if a player or a student athlete has tested positive and they have fully recovered, repeat surveillance testing of someone who previously tested positive for the virus is not necessary for 3 months following the infection unless they develop symptoms of COVID-19 and no other source of infection is identified. I think that's important in regards to, you know, hey, what happens after somebody recovers? What do they have to go through? What's the protocol? 90 days is basically the date at which they do not have to be tested unless they show symptoms.
Yeah, and John, I think with all that being said, how things go from here considering the thoroughness of these protocols and what the Big Ten has tried to create here, how things go depend on how programs, how student athletes, how staff members react to and abide by the protocols. And really, I think it goes beyond just the programs. It's how college campuses, how college communities, how the country as a whole are able to handle everything involved with this pandemic. If there's significant issues, as we've seen at some Big Ten schools, with Michigan State and Rutgers kind of the most notable ones with how widespread those outbreaks were, that's going to be massive to determining how this season looks and whether or not it gets off the ground. And the question I think a lot of people had was, okay, how do individual school situations, how do potential quarantines or pauses on training camp or postponements, how is the Big Ten as a conference involved? And here was Kevin Warren's response to that.
I mean, you know, the conference office, we're involved in all of this, but one of the things that's really important is our 14 Big Ten institutions basically lay over 11 different states. And we will always follow the policies and the procedures and the laws in our 11 different states. And so we have different states in our footprint. And so because of that, our 14 institutions are working in conjunction with their local policies and procedures. So we're here to support them. We're here to support any decisions that they make. And, you know, we have great collaboration. I mean, we have a daily call with our athletic directors, and we have calls with our coaches on a regular basis. Quite naturally, as you're aware, I'm in close communication with all of our chancellors and presidents. And now we've been able to even open up the lines of communication with our faculty athletic representatives and our senior women administrators. I mean, this is really a very unique place and time. It's an honor to serve the Big Ten. It's an honor to work hand in hand with every person in the Big Ten. And the thing that I've really enjoyed the most during this process is having the opportunity to have transparent, open and honest dialogue with our student athletes. We have incredibly bright student athletes. I already knew that based upon our dialogue on our anti-hate, anti-racism coalition. But to have dialogue with our student athletes where we can have transparent communication has been an area that I have really enjoyed, I've embraced. And what it's done is set the tone, not only for us to communicate with our student athletes during this dealing with COVID-19, but also as we go forward. And Dave, on many occasions, as you know, I have a son who's a football student athlete in the SEC at Mississippi State. And so I've asked myself, as a father, would I be comfortable for him to participate in the Big Ten based upon the testing policies, protocols, and procedures we have in place? And as of today, the answer is yes. So I feel comfortable as we sit here today, but it's a fluid situation. There's no guarantee that we will have fall sports or football season, but we're doing everything we possibly can that if we're so blessed to be able to have fall sports, that things are organized and done in a very methodical and professional manner.
And very methodical and professional manner is exactly what you think of when you think of the press conferences that Kevin Warren has had, the tough decisions that he's had to make, the resources that he's been able to rally around him, and the ability to, you know, implement a plan, a schedule that gives the Big Ten and its member institutions the best opportunity to play football in 2020.
And lastly, John, I think it's important, and Kevin Warren and the Big Ten as a whole, they've been focused on getting this aspect of the messaging across. All these plans, all these protocols, schedules, etc., it does not guarantee that fall sports will take place. Here's Commissioner Warren on that, including a personal flavor to his answer.
During this dealing with COVID-19, but also as we go forward, and Dave, on many occasions, as you know, I have a son who's a football student athlete in the SEC at Mississippi State. And so I've asked myself, as a father, would I be comfortable for him to participate in the Big Ten based upon the testing policies, protocols, and procedures we have in place? And as of today, the answer is yes. So I feel comfortable as we sit here today, but it's a fluid situation. There's no guarantee that we will have fall sports or football season, but we're doing everything we possibly can that if we're so blessed to be able to have fall sports, that things are organized and done in a very methodical and professional manner.
I think it's real important to point out that this is not just a decision that he is making based on what he thinks is best for the Big Ten, what he thinks is best for the Big Ten Network and all of the different entities involved, but he is personally invested in this. His son plays in the SEC, so he's not a decision maker in that regard. But when you hear him say, hey, would I be comfortable in allowing my son to play football under these circumstances with this protocol in place? And that answer is yes. Then you really got to believe that there is, you know, that they have done everything that they can. This is a dad speaking about his own son and the risks that he is willing to take in regards to playing on the football field, being around his teammates, being a part of a football program. I think that says a lot. I also think when you hear him talk about the transparency and the conversations with Big Ten athletes, not just football players, but all student athletes across the Big Ten. Earlier today, there was an article in the Players Tribune. We heard from the Pac-12 players last week and a kind of a list of demands that they had made if they were going to play football this year. Now, this one is trending on Twitter and it's got a hashtag Big Ten United. You could go to the Players Tribune and find out everything that the players are looking for in regards to the Big Ten and their players, mainly focused on this year in regards to the third-party testing, what they do with those results, how they're interpreted. And Kevin Warren, if you go down this list of things that the student-athletes are wanting, he basically addressed everything in the statement that they put out with the schedule, with the what we touched on earlier in terms of the COVID-19 medical protocols and the executive summary that he put out. I really think that he did a great job of addressing what the questions are that the student athletes themselves have. And I think it there's one that I would like to point out, that the players want assurances that they will be able to get a medical red shirt or that their scholarships will be preserved. Preserve their athletic ability or athletic eligibility, their scholarship and roster spot for any player who opts out of athletic participation or is unable to play more than 40% of their scheduled season due to COVID-19 or season postponement or cancellation. I really think that when we look and we've seen Rashad Bateman at Minnesota opt out, we're hearing reports that Micah Parsons may do the same thing at Penn State. I think we're going to see this as a part of every program. And we have heard from coaches, we've heard from Jim Harbaugh, we've heard from Ward Manuel, that this is a very tough decision to make, that they will support the decision of a student athlete if they choose to sit out for a season, opt out of competition, that they're standing with the team, their scholarship is all going to remain intact. And I think that is very important, that the power that the student athlete has now of making that decision for what is best for them, that it needs to be respected.
And John, to follow up on that Players Tribune article by the group that's going as hashtag Big Ten United, it says in there, quote, "We have started a dialogue in good faith with the Big Ten and hope that the NCAA will follow suit." Compare that to the Pac-12 one, where there's a lot of frustration with the Pac-12 powers that be in that letter versus what we see from the Big Ten United group. Now, in fairness to the NCAA, shortly after this article came out, the NCAA has released some more COVID-19-related protocols and guidelines, stuff along those lines. There is a phone line that's going to be set up for any reports from players or parents for COVID-related issues. The NCAA says that all scholarships must be honored. And there's a few other things along those lines as well. So there is something that is kind of coming from this Pac-12 United, Big Ten United. And it's impressive that it's coming from the student athletes. Obviously, they want to be safe, but I think they want to be safe and play. There are guys who are going to opt out, and they have every right to. But you heard from Coach Harbaugh about a month or so ago. He said, we want to play. Like, these guys want to get out there. They've been training their whole lives for these opportunities. You only get so many cracks to play college football. They want to play and they want to be safe. How do we best unite those two concepts? And I'll tell you what, I've been incredibly impressed with Commissioner Warren. You talk about a brutal hand to be dealt. He is so new at this position. And you think about, he was the first person, and the Big Ten was the first conference on that fateful Thursday of conference tournament week to say the tournament's off. And the cards fell from there. And the Big Ten has been a leader on this. They were the first to go with a conference-only football schedule. I'm not saying that because of that we're going to have a flawless football season, but if you think about all the adversity and all the uniqueness to this first stretch, this initial stretch of Kevin Warren's time as the commissioner, I can't help but be impressed with how he's handled it.
Yeah. And I mean, what a tough hand to be dealt. It's just, it's a tough year for everybody, but can you imagine taking over one of the biggest programs and entities in college football and being dealt this hand? And the other thing too, is when you think about the conversations that he has had with the student athletes, with the coaches, with the athletic directors and administration, and he comes out and makes these statements, you've got to believe that not only has that conversation, and it's kind of revealing in this hashtag Big Ten United that came out from the players, that these aren't necessarily a list of demands as it was in the Pac-12. Hey, we're sitting out unless you do this. These are the concerns that we have. These are what we would like to see happen. These are things that we have had a conversation with the administration about already. And I think that is very telling, that when you have good leadership, and Kevin Warren so far to me has proven nothing but that, that he is a good leader, a solid leader, a guy that is very transparent, is going to tell you what he thinks, the information that he has, how he is utilizing that information, and then put it out there for you to decide, hey, if this is good or if this is bad, and he will take that feedback. It's just, I really believe that the Big Ten is in terrific hands right now.
No doubt. Well, we're going to have plenty of coverage on this schedule, both from the Michigan perspective and the Big Ten perspective. But John, let's finish with this. As you heard from Commissioner Warren, this does not guarantee football, but today feels like a good day. It feels like an optimistic day. We have a schedule. We have something to look forward to. We have something to work toward as a community, as a country, to make sure that we can stay safe, have some football to enjoy this fall, but this feels like a good day.
It does. You know, you set a goal and you find out what you have to do to achieve that goal. Right now, the goal is to get to September 3rd, have Big Ten football played. For Michigan, it's September 5 against Purdue to host a home game. And it gives the players, it gives everybody something to look forward to. And the thing that gives me the most hope is that there are so many different variables that they have accounted for in this schedule to try and get in as many games. Are we going to play 10 games? I can't guarantee that. I can't sit here today and say, yes, this guarantees we get 10 games, we get a championship game, and we get to crown a Big Ten champ this year. What it does for me is it guarantees the best opportunity to play as many games as possible. If you have to push games from the front of the schedule to the back, you can do that. If you have the ability to start September 3rd, we have that ability. If it's September 26th, we have that ability. All of those different variables are baked into this schedule, and that gives me great hope that we will have, if not 10 games, as many as we can possibly have.
Can't wait for it, John. 1 month from today, Michigan football, we hope. Good stuff today.
Oh, I can't wait. Because it's, you know what? And I thought about this. I thought, you know what? Maybe this is my first opportunity for that locker room speech, because I'm so excited about the Boilermakers coming to town. That little brown jug in week two, playing those Nittany Lions coming to Ann Arbor. Then we get a chance to play in Piscataway, going to the birthplace of college football. Michigan State coming to Ann Arbor, back-to-back years. Indiana, Ohio State, 8 on the road playing those dirty dogs down in Columbus. I can't wait for that opportunity. And then we get a chance to get some revenge on those Wisconsin Badgers, the Maryland Terrapins. And then we get a chance to go to the Fighting Pat Fitzgeralds. He's going to say go Cats 1 million times, and we're going to match that with a go Blue. But then I thought, you know what? I'm not going to go with that locker room speech. I'm just going to calmly end this podcast and save those locker room speeches for when it really matters and those Boilermakers come to town September 5th. So stay tuned, because we will have updates. If Michigan gets an opportunity to start training camp on Friday, August 7th, we will give you updates throughout training camp from the players, from Coach Harbaugh, and I'm excited about the 2020 football season that is finally upon us. We'll talk to you next time on In the Trenches.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network. MGO Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.